Welcome to The Liberated Life, the podcast for women who are done pretending that they have it all figured out and are ready to live with more freedom, clarity, and courage. I'm Lucy Maeve, your guide on a journey through the unspoken parts of healing, desire, and self-discovery. This is a place to be seen, heard, and held, where we embrace all the complexities and contradictions of being fully alive. No masks, no shortcuts, just the real work and real liberation. Hello, my sweet ones. I am back for a solo episode and I love these so much. I find them so therapeutic and I also love just being able to chit chat and be in this little intimate space with you. So I hope you are having a wonderful day or evening wherever you are in the world. And I just want you to know that it is such an honor that you're listening to me wherever you are. I want to talk today about an experience I had last week. So I've been house sitting for my sister for a few weeks, and it was like, it got to like nearly the end of the week. I was feeling pretty pooped, was nearly on my period and was like, I want to go out, but I also feel really tired. And I had a look and there was this studio down the road that was running what I thought was a sound bath. And I asked Thomas if he wanted to go to the sound bath and he was like, yeah, okay, fine. Anyway, so we booked for this sound bath and we toddled along to this studio. And as we turned up, sat down and I was like, I don't think this is a normal sound bath. The reason being that we were sitting down and the woman at the front had like multiple rattles, some drums, some oracle cards, some like Florida water stuff, is it called Florida water? You know what I mean? That water stuff that they use to like energetically cleanse that they often use in South America. And I was like, I think I might have brought Thomas to something kind of rogue that he is going to maybe not like, but we went along with it. And as we started, it turned out that what I thought was a sound bath, AKA us lying down and receiving some nice gong sounds and relaxing for a bit, was actually like quite an intense shamanic drumming circle. For those of you who don't know what shamanic drumming is, to be honest, I didn't hugely either. It is a practice of like lying down, listening to quite intense drumming to access parts of your subconscious, but like intentionally access parts of your subconscious. So not just lie and see what comes up, like intentionally go searching for stuff, which I'm into. You know me, I'm like, I am into anything which is in many ways like consciousness expanding. But I was sitting in this room in suburban London with a group of women who looked like they had never been in anything like this before and all looked slightly terrified by this shamanic drumming circle, but we were there and we were in it and we were like, let's just dive in. So the reason I want to talk about this, I'm not going to go into the whole shebang about the shamanic drumming circle because that in many ways is irrelevant. But what I want to talk to you about is what I received from the drumming circle. And this circle was all about connecting to what she called your power animal. Now, in all honesty, I am deeply in the woo-woo lands. You probably know this about me. I am deeply into psychedelics. I've done a lot of very rogue spiritual things in my time. I still struggle somehow with the concept of a power animal or a spirit animal. I don't have a visual mind, so I don't like see visions of things. I have like a very scientific brain while simultaneously being like 100% in the woo-woo, which at times can be very confusing because I'm like, I believe in all the spiritual stuff. And then my scientific brain is like, but you've lost the plot. You're going mad. So as soon as we went into this thing, we were talking about power animals. Part of me was like, oh God. And I obviously was then projecting my own, oh God, onto Thomas and being like, God, he's going to think this is really weird. But we lie down and we do our little journey into the underworld. And she's guiding us into our own underworld to meet our power animals. I still don't entirely know what power animal is, but I think it's like a spirit animal, which I think I'm going to get probably shut down for saying this, but I think it's like that you have a connection to a certain type of animal and that animal is supporting you to live life in a certain way. Anyway, I went into it with slightly when I say slightly, a huge amount of skepticism because my scientific brain was very much online. Lay down, and I was like trying to visualize, but I can't really visualize because my body is, I don't know, my mind just doesn't work that way. I work much more with feeling. And we had to visualize ourselves going down like some stairs or like some kind of lift or whatever down into the underworld. And when I got there, I was like looking around for my power animal, as she told us to do. And I have to say, I was expecting to get like a lion or some kind of very feral animal, like a wolf or like a wild boar, something that was like powerful and strong and like gonna like blast through something and whatever. And I lay there, I was like, where's this lion or wild boar gonna come? You know, I'm lying here waiting. And what showed up was instead a dragonfly. And I have to be honest, at first I was a bit like, dragonfly? Like, really? How is my power animal a dragonfly? What the hell is a dragonfly going to do if I'm just lying here with a dragonfly? Like, I need a lion on my side. But anyway, I lay there, couldn't see the dragonfly, but could feel the dragonfly, could feel the scent of the dragonfly inside of me. And the dragonfly was like flitting about, and could kind of feel its wings and its lightness. And I was like, okay, I wonder what this dragonfly is trying to show me. And I lay there, and I kind of like opened myself to the answer to that question. And that day I had been deep in the grit of seriousness. I was like, I'm in very many ways in my life right now in like quite a transitionary space of not really knowing where I'm going to end up living, like lots of work stuff going on. There's lots of uncertainty. And I had been all day in this space of like, we need to find an answer. Like, what is the answer? My big scientific brain was like, we need to find a solution. And I lay there in this sound bath, not sound bath, with my dragonfly in my mind / body. I was like, what is this dragonfly here for? The dragonfly was there to remind me that it's not that deep. And when I say it's not that deep, it is extremely deep. Like the magnitude of the human brain and like our spiritual connection and our essence and energy, like it's like profoundly deep, the human experience. And simultaneously, there's lightness to it. And there's so much beauty in connecting to the lightness and being like, you know what a delight it is to be a human. And that's not me saying ignore all things that are serious in life and just like go along with it and pretend that everything's fine and whatever. I'm not saying that, but I am saying it. In periods of our life, we can get very much sucked into everything being incredibly serious and like really important and very like heavy and intense and like must find an answer and solution and we're running a race and we've got to get there first and blah, 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 blah. And oh my God, it's exhausting. And I genuinely, I think I led my life primarily through that energy for, I would say, at least 30 years. It still is very much in me and I have to really watch myself for it. But that is not why we are here as humans. We're not here to run a race. We're not here to get to the end first. We're not here to like be chasing after stuff. We're meant to be here to be like kind of having fun. And I'm not saying to ignore responsibility. I'm not saying to just like forget that the world is a difficult place right now. I'm not saying that. But I am saying if you're in a space where everything's feeling really heavy and really serious and really intense, can we just find the lightness? Like, can we just find the play? Can we find the dance? Can we find the like kind of cosmic joke in it all? And to use the lightness of the dragonfly, I'm kind of laughing at myself as I say this because, as I mentioned at the beginning, I'm not hugely into spirit animals, but you know what I mean. Use the energy of the dragonfly to be like, how can I bring more lightness into this situation? Like, how can I bring more hilarity into this? How can I bring more like zest? Because the more we get into seriousness, the heavier everything becomes. And I don't know if any of you are ever into the Gene Keys. I love the Gene Keys. And you can get a free profile on their website if you're ever interested in doing it. But one of my key Gene Keys, it's all linked to your birth date, birth time, all that stuff. One of my Gene Keys, each one is split into three. So it has a shadow frequency, a gift frequency, and then what's called the Siddhi, which is like your highest frequency of that thing. And it's meant to give you a blueprint of, based on your time of birth, place of birth, like what your specific blueprints are in terms of the journey that you're meant to go through, which shadow frequencies you're meant to be transmuting into gift frequencies in your lifetime. And one of mine, drumroll, is seriousness. So part of my journey through life is to transmute seriousness into delight and then ecstasy. Whether we get to ecstasy, I don't know. But my journey is definitely a journey of transmuting seriousness into delight. And isn't that a gift for all of us? Because how many of us get stuck in seriousness? And with this, I wanted to read a little section from the Gene Keys about seriousness, because I think it's important. Are you ready? The shadow archetype of the 46th Gene Key, which is the one that's in my chart, is seriousness. Seriousness is the most widespread of all diseases on our planet and is a primary cause of much ill fortune. When you live your life from this shadow, you carry a black cloud above your head wherever you go. It always seems to rain when you don't want it to, because you are out of synchronization with the whole. You create obstacles for yourself when you become too focused either on the future or on the past. Seriousness is about worrying or expecting or wishing life to be other than it is right now. Seriousness takes you away from life and love and into issues of control or separation. And isn't that just the nub? Control or separation. It's like, how much are we controlling life? How much are we gripping to life? How much are we like, it must end in this specific way? Like, I'm meant to have this job that's like this, or I'm meant to have this kind of partner, or I'm meant to be doing this, or I'm meant to do that. Oh my God. And how much does it like suck the life out of us when we're in that? And I say this with all the love in the world, because as you guys will now know, I have the shadow of seriousness in my chart. So it is my life's work to transmute it. But it really is like the crux of so much of the pain and the suffering that we all hold, is this attachment to seriousness of like how heavy everything is. And one of the pieces in this Gene Keys book says, oh God, this line. Repressive natures are in one sense or another frozen. So this is the repressive nature of seriousness. Frigidity here, which is the repressive nature of seriousness, is used not so much in the sexual sense, but in a much broader context to describe the freezing of one's sensuality. These people, aka the people stuck in the shadow of seriousness, hide from life out of fear of their own bodies. If you do not like your body, your vital energy turns sour. Such people lose touch with the juiciness of life. You can see this reflected in their lifestyle, clothes, and particularly in their faces, which manifest their fear through a permanently pinched expression. When such people begin to enjoy the beauty of being in their body rather than worrying about what they look like, they release the inner warmth buried deep within and their whole begins to thaw. God, that line when it says people lose touch with the juiciness of life, that to me is so much the crux of our pain. Yeah. And as I mentioned, this is not in any way me saying that we just need to ignore the fact that the world right now is in a gritty place, but it is me saying, can we take a moment to recognize the beauty? Can we take a moment to like dance with the wonder? Can we take a moment to just be in the like magic of it all, and how we're on this planet in the middle of nothingness, like floating, God knows why we're here. And there are like trees that make fruit. I'm looking out the window and I can see an apple tree and I'm like, how amazing is that? There's a tree that makes an apple and I can eat the apple. Like, wow. Can we be in the childlike wonder of it all? I honestly feel like the childlike wonder of life is what will heal us. If we can make space in our lives to step out of the mania of our minds and to just see the wonder, to see the beauty, and to stop gripping, to be in the space of like, what if life was a dance? What if we could let go into the flow of life rather than be in that space of rigidity and control? And I genuinely feel like that is what the dragonfly was trying to tell me. The dragonfly was all about the cosmic joke of it all. It was about letting go into a space of openness, into a space of being open to surprise, letting go of where you want life to take you and just allowing life to take you where it needs to take you. And in that, there can be this huge exhale. It's really a space of enjoying the ride. And it does not mean that you should give up all your goals in life and start drifting. I'm not saying that. But it means that you hold your goals lightly. That you let yourself be in the unfolding and you let the wisdom of life come through you rather than you being in the control and seriousness of it all. And the dragonfly was trying to show me that. And I came out of that sound bath / shamanic drumming circle feeling so much lighter and so much freer and so much like, it's really not that deep. Like, can we just exhale a little bit of the seriousness and intensity of it all and just let ourselves be in the magic of being alive, the magic of the five senses, the magic of life, of connection, of breathing, of tasting, of smelling, of hearing. I want to finish this episode by reading a poem, which I can't actually remember where we found it, but it really touched me when Thomas found this poem, and it was all about lightness. So I'm going to read it to you, and I want you to just maybe take a moment to close your eyes as I read it and just breathe the wisdom in. So this poem is by Aldous Huxley. And it goes, "It's dark because you are trying too hard. Lightly, child, lightly. Learn to do everything lightly. Yes, feel lightly, even though you're feeling deeply. Just lightly let things happen and lightly cope with them. I was so preposterously serious in those days, such a humorless little prig. Lightly, lightly is the best advice ever given me. When it comes to dying even, nothing ponderous or portentous or emphatic. No rhetoric, no tremolos, no self-conscious persona putting on its celebrated imitation of Christ or little Nell. And of course, no theology, no metaphysics, just the fact of dying and the fact of the clear light. So throw away your baggage and go forward. There are quicksands all about you, sucking at your feet, trying to suck you down into fear, self-pity and despair. That's why you must walk so lightly. Lightly, my darling, on tiptoes and no luggage, not even a sponge bag, completely unencumbered. So my sweet loves, walk lightly. Bring some lightness into your life this week. How can you exhale out some of the self-imposed heaviness and seriousness and see the delight of this magical world that we live in? I'm sending you all huge amounts of love. It's such a gift to be here with you, and I will speak with you very soon.